you read and watch that. And you know, the conclusion I came to is now every one of you, every single one of you, old, young, it doesn't matter, every one of you are responsible with what you just read. Every one of us. So whatever that message that you just heard sung and read off of that screen, you are now responsible with it. Okay? So you got to do something about that. That's the beautiful thing about it. Somebody gives you a gift, what are you going to do with it? You know, there, let me just say this, and we'll go into our passage of Scripture, because it'll relate, because that's exactly kind of what we're talking about today. Matthew chapter 7, beginning to verse 9. So if you want to begin to find that in the text of the Scripture that you have before you, there's a number of things you can do with a gift. Did you know that? A number of things. Whether it's at this particular time of the year that we call Christmas, and there is oftentimes, I don't know, maybe you don't do that, but if you do, you know, there's gift giving and gift, you know, receiving kind of stuff. It may be an anniversary, maybe a birthday, maybe a special holiday or a special time in your life that you get a gift, all right? Now, you can do, it appears that you can do a number of things with that. Number one, you could probably, if someone extended you a gift, if they extended you a gift, you could knock it out of their hands, point your bony finger at them and say, don't you ever give me another gift as long as you live, and slam the door in their face. Yeah. I mean, you could. Or you could, as someone would extend to you this gift, beautifully packaged, extend this gift to you, you could look at this individual, whether family or friend or foe, whoever it might be, and they're extending you this gift, and you could say, hold on just a second. And you could pull out your wallet or your pocketbook, and you could say, well, we're pretty limited in here, you could say, how much did it cost? Let me pay you for that. Well, you could. Or someone could be so kind and package this beautiful gift, whatever it might be, and extend it to you, hold it in front of you, and you could look at that, and you could say, I'm a little short of change, but I tell you what I'll do. Let me come over to the house and rake your yard of all the leaves that have fallen. I'll clean all the porches off. I'll get up and clean all the gutters in order to earn the value of that gift. You could do that. Or someone extends you a gift, and you could do what? Just receive it. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of Christmas. God in His genius, God in His compassion, God in His great love for you and for me. And because of our situation that we all know about, called S-I-N, say that with me. God says, they've got an issue that I need to deal with, and the only way that I'll deal with it is to help them by freely giving them a gift. Now, what kind of gift can I give them? And He gives us the most precious and most important gift known to mankind, and that is life. So He gives the life of His own Son. Hence, Merry Christmas. And you can do a number of things with that. You can slap that out of God's hands and say, don't you ever do that again. You can say, what can I do to earn? What can I do to work towards the value of that gift so that I will feel like I've accomplished something on my part in order to receive this gift from your part? Or, as He extends the gift to you, you can just receive it. That's what that message was in that music. Mike, thank you. That was about as good as it comes. Have you found Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 9, there is, as it would be, the subject before us in giving. What happens when a Christian gives? Now, I want you to see this, and I want you to step over a couple of lines today in light of what's going to happen this week, next Sunday, if Jesus tarries is coming. Boy, wouldn't that be a great gift? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Boy, that'd be fun. Wouldn't it be fun to be in heaven next Sunday? I've got three that would want to be there. So Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7 through 9. And by the way, thank you for pinning that little note or your signature or something on that. If you need to go to the back page on that for this church. I think sometimes, when people extend that kind of gratitude and that kind of graciousness towards us, we need to reciprocate with at least a thank you, and thank you for doing that. We'll get that note to them. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 9, there's something about giving, and it's appropriate, I think, at this time of the year that we think about that. So, give you one more time to sort of just relax and stretch just a little bit. Why don't you stand with me as we reverence God's Word as well. And let's read, allow you to read silently. If you want to look at the screen, you can do just that because those verses appear there. Beginning at verse 9, look at what the Lord Jesus says. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Will he give him a stone? Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And if you'll put verse 12 on just for the exclamation point, he says, in everything therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Father, thank you for giving us a moment to just allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach us perhaps a lesson again, maybe a new lesson about giving. And I trust, Father, that we'll make a very solid commitment and decision to apply this truth to our hearts and our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We've been studying in these last few days in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, about these wonderful truths, and we've looked at what happens when a Christian sins, what happens when a Christian judges, what happens when a Christian prays, and then what happens when a Christian gives today. And I want you to write down this thought. I don't know that we put this thought, maybe we did on the screen, but Jesus speaks more. This is a very important statement. As a matter of fact, this is really the foundational statement that I trust it'll carry you through this part of the year and then give you a brand new, not resolution, but revolution of your life and your rethinking throughout 2017, if Jesus does tarry his coming. Jesus speaks more to the attitude in our giving. Listen to this. Jesus speaks to us more about the attitude of our giving than he is the amount of our giving. It's been interesting as you read through the New Testament how that has been a portrait of his life and the character of his life. It's far more about the attitude of our gift and of our giving than it is the amount. And so if you're sitting there contemplating, living in guilt and shame and thinking, well, I haven't given enough, you need to back that up a little bit and ask yourself, what was the purpose of my giving in the first place? Now, does that give us a license to just simply say, well, I've got a good attitude, and so I won't give anything? Well, I'm glad God didn't have that attitude. So, as we look at these statements that he has given to us, I want to relate it, just a couple of thoughts and then just add some things. I want you to first look, beginning back at verse 9 and 10 of Matthew chapter 7. Look at there's a hypothetical. It's interesting that Jesus uses... This is not sarcasm. He's not being sarcastic when he says these first two statements in verse 9 and 10. But he's using a hypothetical. And that's the genius of his teaching. Look what he says. He's asking actually two questions. In verse 9 he says, "Or what man is there among you when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone?" Do you hear the almost the sarcasm in that? He's not being sarcastic, but it's a hypothetical. Have you ever done that? Have you ever used a hypothetical situation in trying to teach somebody or tell somebody something? Well, I believe that's in part what Jesus is doing, and it all gathers around giving. or at least it does in this particular passage of Scripture. And so, there's a hypothetical response when confronting giving. And Jesus, I believe, illustrates three things, okay? So let's look at those. He first illustrates the giver. He illustrates the gift. And then he illustrates the receiver. The giver, the gift, and the receiver. Now, if you look again at these verses of Scripture, I think you see all three of those involved here. Look what it says. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he? Now, somewhere in that, you've got those three hypothetical individuals, nameless, faithless individuals that are being proposed to us and placed before us to speak about the importance of giving. And so let's just look at the giver first. Hypothetically, he is a portrait of an irresponsible provider. Hypothetically. Now watch this, because this is married to something else, bigger. There's a much bigger picture here. But the giver, as Jesus is proposing, is hypothetically a portrait. It's a portrait of an irresponsible provider. Notice this, what he's saying? He says, here is a son who is hungry and needs food, and yet here is an object that has no fulfillment or sustaining quality to it given. That's irresponsible. Daddy, I'm hungry. Well, go chew on that piece of bark. That's irresponsible. Mama, I'm starving. I need something to eat. Well, go get a pair of dirty socks out of the laundry and suck on them. That's irresponsible. I mean, that's ludicrous. You wouldn't say that, would you, to your child who is needing some kind of sustenance and fulfillment, nutrition? No, you would never say that. And Jesus is illustrating the hypocrisy and the hypothetical condition of an irresponsible provider. So there's a lesson to be learned in this. Listen to this, folks. There's a bigger lesson to be learned. I want you to hear this. You and I need to learn to be serious about our position. You say, what do you mean by that? You and I are providers. Oh, I'm not just talking about that nucleus of your family, whatever the size might be, whether your children, your grandchildren, and all that you feel like you need to be the principal provider. No, I'm talking about a bigger family. I'm talking about a much bigger picture. I believe Jesus is even speaking, in essence, of a much bigger picture about being a responsible. You and I need to learn the lesson. It's a serious lesson, and that is we need to learn who we are. We need to learn our position, and that is that we provide something. And you say, David, I'm really just not following you on this. Well, let me just ask you, where are you in your spiritual position? Because, my friend, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that is not something to be kept by yourself and to yourself. No, here is somebody that comes to you and says, I am starving. Well, go talk to the preacher. I'm needing something in my life that has purpose and meaning that will fulfill my life. Well, here's a track. Or go talk to somebody more so than myself. No, we've got a position, and we need to be serious about who we are. Now, let me illustrate that, and I'll go to the second part of this hypothetical out of the three. The giver, the gift, and the receiver. I am married. Okay? I am married to this woman on this woman. Not those two women, but this woman on this row. Her name is Marilyn. And some years ago, we began a relationship. We met each other. We began to court. And at a specific time, I dropped to a knee and I asked her to marry me. Got the blessings of her family. And on August the 16th of 1974, we became husband and wife at the West Rome Baptist Church in Fayetteville, in Rome, Georgia. at the West Rome Baptist Church at 7 o'clock in the evening. That happened. That actually happened, and we became man and wife. We began that relationship, and people will come up nowadays, and they will look at that wedding band, or they will ask me, are you married? I said, yes, I am married. And my wife's name is, and I'll give the kind of the portrait of this. I don't go into a lot of details in that regard, because that's not what they want. They just want to know if I'm married. And I say, yes, I am. I have a relationship with this one particular person. But see, I had no problem doing that. I have no problem relating that. David, where do you work? Well, I work at the Truett McConnell University in Cleveland, Georgia. My position is the Director of Church Relations, and my position is I travel all over the state of Georgia, and I connect with pastors, associational missionaries, churches, and I build relationships. I become a Barnabas in their life. I just want to simply be an encouragement to them and in their life and ministry. I have no problem saying that. You know why? Because I have a relationship in my employment. But why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I have those same kinds of relationships in our lives, marriage, grandchildren, employment, whatever other relationships that we have, and yet when it comes to telling people the most important relationship that we have in the world, the one that not only is that walks along with us in this side of life, but then gives us and graduates us to a greater life to come, and yet we never say anything. Do you know why? You know what? Listen to me carefully. And then I'm going to carry us to the second point. If we do that, we become the irresponsible provider. People who are hungry for food, spiritually speaking, and here what are we doing? We're giving them something so irrelevant in their life. That's the bigger picture. That's what parables do, and that's what Jesus, I think, is directing perhaps at least in part our attention to. But notice not only the giver, and that's the portrait of the irresponsible provider, but notice the gift. Hypothetically, it is a picture as well of a useless provision. Dad, can I have some bread? Yeah, sure, here's a brick. You did say brick, didn't you? Dad, I'd love to have a sandwich if you wanted to really get it, fish. Yeah, I'd love to have a fish sandwich. Okay, well, here's this python. Chew on this. You think, my stars, you sure are an irresponsible provider, and your provision is useless. I can't chew on a brick. I mean, you see the uselessness of this provision that's come into my life? A snake. I hate snakes. Like Indiana Jones. I hate snakes. Well, there's a uselessness. But here's a lesson. Listen, here's the lesson that you need to learn in this. Pay attention to what we provide people. Listen, pay attention to what we provide for people. Does it have value or is it void? Does it have fulfillment or is it futile? Pay attention to what we provide people. You know what? You know, one of the things that is useless in people's lives, a lot of the things that we say. Well, this is my opinion, but who cares what your opinion is? I mean, really, in the greater scheme of life, here's an individual that's hurting, broken, destined for hell, perhaps, and they need something of sustenance. They need something that will fulfill their life and give them purpose and meaning. And what are we doing? We're just dancing around the maypole with all this junk that comes into our mind and my opinion and this and that, and I don't think about it. Oh, my stars. Family of God, we need to understand that there is a provision that God has given us that will fulfill somebody. It's like the fresh water, the clean, cool water to that parched individual. It's like food for the starving man. And that's what we need to provide for them. But what's happening here? It's useless. I mean, this gift is useless. And so you and I have the power, and we have the opportunity by virtue of our position to provide people with something that will give them meaning in their life. So take the bricks, as it would be, take the bricks and store them somewhere else. Take the snakes that might be interesting, but they're going to be useless, and put them somewhere else, and let's be faithful. Let's pay attention to what we provide for people. Make it valuable. Make it fulfilling. Listen to the conversations that you get into and ask yourself this question. Do I need to get into this conversation? Is this going to really bring fulfillment? How important? As a matter of fact, here's a great thing. Randy, would you join me up here just for a moment? Now, Randy has that, in some ways, he has that Jesus look about him. Now, not only exteriorly, but interior. This man really has a great love for the Lord and all this kind of stuff. So Randy, just by virtue of a sort of an illustration, a visual illustration, I'm going to ask Randy. Didn't ask him to do this before. This is just an impromptu illustration. Randy is going to play the part of Jesus. So let's just say that Randy is Jesus. And here I am, and I'm engaging in a conversation with any of you or with somebody beyond that. And that conversation drifts over to something that's really inappropriate. We're going to start talking about somebody else. We're going to start providing information that is useless information. And here's Jesus standing right beside me. And I'm pouring out this vomit and this junk and this stuff that is so inappropriate to this individual, and Jesus is standing right beside me. He hears it all. You understand where I'm headed on this? Okay. Thanks, Jesus. Didn't he do a great job? Let's give him a round of applause. Thirdly, in this hypothetical, you have the receiver. Notice that the receiver represents a person who has a real need. And by the way, the bigger picture is that this is personal. This is personal. You see, this person is personal, representing that this person has value, or this person is important. What does the Bible say again in verse 9? Or what man is there among you who, when his son? In verse 9, what man among you when his son asks? Or if he, speaking again in reference to the son, the person of value, the person of importance. And so here's the receiver. And this receiver has a real need. And by the way, can I invite you to do something? Maybe today, start today. Ask that the Holy Spirit of God, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, seriously now, and the only security that you have is that the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you. I mean, absolutely sealed you. Jesus said, my Father has placed sheep in my hands and nothing can snatch them from my Father's hand. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you are secure. You are sealed, and you are sealed through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And that same Holy Spirit of God wants to walk with you every single step into the mall, at Walmart, getting gas, getting your groceries, at school, at home. Regardless, the Holy Spirit of God wants to walk with you. Ask the Holy Spirit right now to fill you, to be obedient to the Word of God. In Ephesians 5:18, where it says it's inappropriate to be drunk with wine, but it is appropriate to be filled and constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, so you might display the fruit of the Spirit before those that are all around you. And when you come into the presence of that person who has a need, your antenna is up and you hear it. You sense it, you know it, you experience it, and you can encounter that individual. Instead of saying, well, be you warmed and filled, I hope that need's met in your life. No, that person has a real need. Here's a son, somebody of value, somebody of importance that needs to have your tender touch in their life. And it may not just be a sandwich. It may not just be filling somebody's tank up with gas. It may not be slipping somebody a $20 bill when they say, hey, buddy, have you got any change? It may be that child in your family or that uncle, that aunt, that mom or that dad that has been so wayward from the things of God that you just absolutely say, hey, today is the day. I'm going to take the step. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to step into that person's life. And I'm going to say, listen, you are a person of great value to me. And we may have had but today we're coming together. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I give you a gift. Because we value that person. We value that person. And so you have the gift, you have the giver, the gift, and the receiver. And that's all kind of in a hypothetical understanding when confronted with our giving. But I want you to look at verse 11 and 12. Let's just kind of bring this now sort of in for a landing. And notice an authentic response. An authentic, not a hypothetical, but now an authentic response when confronted with giving. In verse 11 and 12 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children." Wow. Ooh. Thanks, Jesus. That really felt good. I thought you loved me. I thought you cared for me. And yet you have stated indisputably that I am evil. Well, you know what's happening here? There's three things that he illustrates here as well in this authentic response. The first thing that he illustrates is he authenticates who we are. You want to know how to spell that? E-V-I-L? He says, "If you then, being evil." There's no question about this. Now, hey. Quit being such a Pharisee. Because we can get there. We're good. We're good. Oh, no. You know, what's interesting is the contrast that Jesus is giving to us. You see, this statement is in contrast with the very nature of God. Now listen to this statement. Matter of fact, this would be a good statement to write down. Someone's going to ask you about this one of these days, or you're going to get into a conversation, and you're going to say, "Boy, I wish I had written that down. Pastor David really gave me something, and this would fit like a piece of a puzzle in the proper place." Listen to this statement. God is not God because He's good. Listen now. God is not God because He's good. God is good because He's God. Now listen to that again. God is not good because He's good. God is good because He's God. Now, if I try to place that in my life, try to make a personal application, I'm not good because I do good. I do good because of God. He puts it in me to do that. And so it's not me that's giving the $20 or the gift to the person or whatever it might be in a tangible expression. It's not me that's stepping into the life of that relative or that friend who needs Christ, who needs to know the Lord. It's not me doing that. It's Him through me. And that's the reason I need to be under the control, the domination, the influence of the Holy Spirit of God right now. Let Him speak. He'll speak through you. Let Him give you the information that you need to relate to that individual. And so therefore, authentically speaking now, He is the one that helps us. He is the one that authenticates who we really are. And that is true, by the way. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all there, by the way. And we're not going to be anywhere but there until we get to heaven. Until we have been radically and celestially and eternally changed in that regard. We'll always be evil. Always. And I hate to tell you all that because you're such nice people. Yeah, and I really want to stroke you and say, "Well, you are just jam up." But we're all there. Every single one of us. And I could go into a litany of all kinds of illustrations to describe that. But let me also say, secondly, that he authenticates how to give. How to give. Now watch this. He says in verse 11, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? You see, this is the activity. This activity is in comparison and to the compassion of God. Okay? This is the way God does it. So therefore, this is the way He wants me to do this. This is how you give. You give like God gives. That's a little beyond us. I realize that because God's love for mankind is an agape kind of love. It's a God-giving kind of love. It's a sacrificial kind of love. But really, He desires for us to give in that same way. that we give in a sacrificial way. Did you watch the IMB video, the international mission? Did you hear the heart and the lives of those people who basically put all on the line? That's the kind of love. And so therefore, that's the reason it's so imperative, ladies and gentlemen, family of God, it's imperative that we would give to keep that kind of love spreading all over the world. Now, we're not going to go. I understand that. We're not going to go to Bulgaria. We're probably not going to go to Singapore. We're probably not going to go to Brazil. We're probably not going to go to some of those places around the world. I understand that. But we can go by giving like God would want us to give. And go across the room to that person that needs you to give like God would want you to give in their life. The how. He authenticates how to give. And that's the reason he says, how much more? How much more? In verse 11, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good? And then finally, he authenticates why we give. Say you've been sitting there perhaps and you're thinking to yourself, well, all this is good, but why should I do this? Why should I do it? God forbid that we would say, what's in it for me? But sometimes I think we do. Is there a purpose behind this giving? Why should I give to the international mission? Why should I do that? Why should I go to that friend? Why me? Why should I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Look again. He says in verse 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Whatsoever you would give to your children, that's the reason. Now, I guess it begs the question of motivation. What's the motive? Now, let me ask you all a question. And don't get into the whole... You remember I said this is going to have some relationship to Christmas? Don't get into the whole secularism of Christmas. But just think, for instance. Let me see if I can run a couple little illustrations by you right quick. Why did you give your child a bath? Now you don't have to answer that. Maybe you didn't. But why would a person give a child a bath? Why would a parent set a child at a table, whether in a high chair, a booster, or in their chair, and place before them a plate of food? Why would the lights stay on and the air conditioning or the heat be moving and running, and there in the bed you clothe that child with a blanket and you kiss them on the cheek and say, good night, honey, I'll see you in the morning? Why would you do that? Why in the world would you educate your child at a place, an institution of learning? Why would you provide shoes for their feet? Why would you put clothing on them that would warm them in the winter or take them on a day? Why would you do those things? Now, moms and dads, you're thinking about that. Grandparents, you're thinking about that. People were thinking about, and you could drop anything into those blanks. It could be not just children. It could be a mate. It could be your spouse, it could be an ailing relative, or whatever and whoever it might be. Why do you do that? Because you love them. Period. So that should be the motive. That should be the motive. Now, I realize you can write a lot of scripts on this, and you can say, now, I'm going to give you this gift at Christmas. And your little darling just bright-eyed, and oh, boy, and they grab that, and then you hold on to it. You do this kind of a thing. Now, you know I love you. Now, I'm giving you this because I love you. You can go to that kind of, quote, extreme, but the point is that Jesus is trying to relate to us the authenticity of our giving and why we do it. Why do you support? And why would you want to support those people that you have no idea who they are? And a lot of people would not do it because they're skeptics, because we don't know where that money's going to go. And then start all that scenario. Why do you give it? Why do you do it? Why do you engage people? Well, perhaps the motivation should be, maybe it's not, but it should be, we give our lives away because we love people. Now, Christmas 2016, hey, just 7 days away, 160 hours away, okay? Why did God do it? Mike said it on the video that we saw just before. You have read it. You've even memorized it. It's all based around John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved that He gave. Shouldn't that be our motivation? I mean, really, when you really get to thinking about bread and stone, fish and snakes, I mean, what's the bottom line, Jesus? Get me to the bottom line. He says, well, you do this because you love one another. That's 15 more minutes of preaching. The motivation for my giving should come from the movement of love within my heart. It should crisscross everything in our lives. So can I just give you a quick little lesson? Here's a lesson to be learned. Give when you know it meets a need. Give when you know it meets a need. And you've got to be discerning. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom in that regard. But give when you know it will meet a need. Not only in their life, hey, but in your life. You know what I found out when I visit a nursing home? When I go into a hospital room? When I, in my pastoral role, when I was on the route or on the path to go visit somebody in that regard, here's what you do when you get out of the car. Well, I'm going to be a blessing to them. I'm just going to be a blessing to them. They're going to be blessed by my presence. You go in there, and there's a funeral. You're there in the parlor, and you're shaking hands, and I'm going to bless them. Oh, Pastor, it's so kind of you to come. You've been such a blessing to us. That's what you think. But you know what happens? It turns around. And when you go knowing through the motivation of genuine love, it's going to meet a need. Guess what? You're blessed. It all turns around. You say, well, I've never done it. Then do it. Well, I'm uncomfortable to do it. Be uncomfortable and do it. Well, I don't know how to do it. Then be ignorant and do it. Because oftentimes in our ignorance, sometimes in our pride or our ego, we don't do it. And yet, we're not meeting the need in that person's life. So, there's a good lesson to learn. Give when you know it meets a need. Secondly, give. Here's a good lesson to learn. Give with a heavenly mindset. Give with a heavenly mindset. I'm not here because of me. I'm here because of Jesus. I'm not giving and loving you because of me, because I can't do that, because Jesus called me evil. But I'm telling you, because of His love for you, I'm here because I love you. Because He loves you. That's the reason I'm out here. That's the reason I'm giving. You want to give to the International Mission Board? Don't do it because of you. Don't because you have the money or don't have the money. Give because Jesus wants you to. It's a heavenly mindset. Turn everything around. Quit thinking about all this stuff and start thinking about that stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We just talked about that. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, so give with a heavenly mindset. Don't think, ooh, what am I going to get out of it? No, think, ooh, what's Jesus going to get out of it? And you know what he should get out of it? Glory, hallelujah. You know, I mean, that's really what he should get out of it. Let me give you a third lesson. Give with the proper motive. In the proper manner. With the proper means. Now, that's a three for the price of one thing. But give with a proper motive. Give with in a proper manner. With a proper means. You know what I love so much about the widow and the widow's mite? She did that. She gave with the proper motive, in the proper manner, with the proper means. Now, the crowd didn't see that. Two copper coins. I mean, come on. You going to keep the lights on? They're not keeping it on with two copper coins. I can promise you that. In all actuality, she gave financially the smallest gift given at that time. But her motive was right. Her manner was right. And I even believe her means was right, because Jesus said of her and her gift, she gave the greatest gift. You know why? Her heart was right. And folks, that's the reason at the very outset, the foundation for this entire study, and I believe the foundation of what Jesus is trying to relate to us, it's not about your amount. It's about your attitude. You know what the Bible says? God loves a cheerful giver. And that's an interesting word, cheerful. I don't know how many times that appears in the Bible, but it doesn't appear many times in the Bible. But if you were to go back and to find out what that word actually means, you know what that means? You're laughing your head off. Hilarious is really the English word that we get from that word cheerful. It's built on that word. Hilarious. And you're thinking, I've never found myself laughing when the offering plate comes by. I've never done that. Have you ever done that? I've never done that. But in essence, maybe that's a good motive. And maybe in that motive you find out it's really not mine in the first place. This is all God's. This is all God's in the first place. I saw something years ago, and I'll end with this. I saw years ago, I was in a meeting a number of years ago, and we came to a point where they were going to pass the plates to support the need that was present. And a guy in the balcony, I can still remember him standing, and here's what he said. He said, and I'll keep the names anonymous. He said, "Brother Jim," that's not his real name. He said, "Brother Jim." And the guy at the pulpit looked up in the balcony. The guy was it was kind of inappropriate, to be perfectly honest with you. Oh, I thought it was. He said, "Brother Jim, I'm just going to confess to my brothers here that I don't have, really, I'm out of a job right now, and so I don't have a lot of finances. But I have my class ring that my parents bought me a number of years ago. They're gone to heaven now. And Brother Jim, can I give this? Would this be an appropriate gift to give?" And I lost it. I lost it. Because that young man, holding up his class ring, willing to put it in an offering plate to meet the need of the moment, asking them to appraise it and to melt it down, whatever they were going to do with it. And sure enough, when that offering plate passed by, clunk, he put it in there. You know what that told me? His heart was right. The manner, as far as trying to meet the need, was right. And guess what? The means was right. Now, can I give you the footnote of that? Somebody went to that man and said, "How much did your parents pay for that class ring?" And he told them. And it was a substantial amount. It was a gold class ring. Had a little stone in it, too. So it was a nice ring from an institution that he had a lot of respect for and attended and graduated from. And so it was a pretty pricey ring. That man that came to that individual that was given the ring paid the difference of the amount, put that amount, and gave the man back his class ring. Now, that was just one of those moments that just meant a lot to me. I don't know if it means anything to you. But what it teaches me is what Jesus is saying. What happens when you give? Well, make sure your motive is right. Make sure your heart's right, because it's not about your amount, it's about your attitude. And look what we're talking about at this time of the year. We're talking about giving. I mean, really. And we start from heaven, so he had the right method and motive and manner and means to meet the need in our life. And he wants to do that in yours as well. So let's bow our heads for just a moment. Softly and tenderly, the old hymn says, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. I'm just kind of curious today, in the quietness of this moment. And a lot of times we do our invitations like this. Whether this is the right way or the wrong way, it really doesn't matter, because it's not about what I say or what we do necessarily. It's what God's doing for us and in us and what He desires for us to do. So perhaps there's somebody here today that you've never received this wonderful gift. And that's what it is. It's a gift that God has sent. We call it Christmas, but I call it the love of God. And He sent it for you, just like in this illustration, in this part of the sermon, what man among you has a son? So it's a personal gift. It's a very personal gift, because God values you. But you're sitting here and you've never responded to that free gift that was given. But right now you realize, boy, something's happening inside of me, and I really need to take care of business. So here you sit, and you know indisputably that the Holy Spirit of God is moving upon your heart, and you would want to simply say, I don't know what to say, but I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, even in this passage of Scripture, said I was evil. But that doesn't mean I need to stay there, because I can come to you. I can ask you to come into my life and to change me. So Lord Jesus, you're the answer to my need. You're the good gift from the Father to me. And so I receive you right now. I trust if you've prayed a prayer similar to that in your own words, but in the sincerity, in being authentic before God, just stripping all the stuff away, but just being real with Him right now. I trust if you've prayed a prayer like that, you've cried out, you've called out to Him. I trust you'll allow us to just gather around you, love on you, start this new journey and on this new path in your life. So see one of us. Seriously, myself, Mike, Glenn, Scott, any of these people, perhaps the people that came with you, please, why don't you receive the greatest gift that was given at Christmas, before Christmas, and that's Jesus. Perhaps the motive, the attitude in your heart and mind about your giving, not necessarily financial, but your giving of your life, your giving of your talents and your resources, who you are. Maybe you've sort of put that on the shelf for a while, and yet the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart today. Said, I need to do some business with God. Well, that's right where you're sitting now. That's the quiet place. As He speaks to you and as you begin anew a journey with Him. Father in heaven, I thank you for giving us the privilege to come today and to be a part of a celebration, a gift exchange, understanding that what we have talked about today might not be particularly Christmas, but yet it really relates to Christmas because of the great value that you placed on your Son, because you place a great value on us to become your sons. And so I pray, Father, that in this room and by your Spirit, you have spoken to our hearts and our lives, and we're doing business with you, and that we'll continue to do business with you, because, Father, we do it. It's a personal matter with us. And so I trust, Father, that as we've made these decisions, that we'll gather around others so that we'll be accountable, and that we will just continue on in this wonderful journey of our life giving and of our life given to others. Thank you, Father, for loving and caring for us throughout this day. Bless our time now, Father, in just a moment as we leave, and help us, Father, to share this gift. Truly, boy, it's a great time to do it, too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.